are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
We are taking a three-week adventure into a sermon series that's very important to me, called Legacy Mindset. On July 17th, 2023, at the age of 48, I had a triple bypass. They cut my chest plate open, cranked it open. It's a brutal surgery if you think about it. They made sure I was on a heart-lung machine. They gave me the same drug that they give, I think, to people when they're going to put them down for the death penalty to make your heart stop. Stop my heart. They pack it with ice. And to make sure my heart stopped, they grabbed an artery from right here, and they grabbed two arteries from my chest, femoral arteries, and they replaced the bad arteries that I had. About 2 years later, this year, July 10th, 2025, I had regained all of my weight and then some, and I was back to my heart attack weight. I ate my feelings. I was sitting on the back deck with my wife. We weren't even fighting. I verified with her in the first service. She was here. We weren't even fighting. We were just sitting there, and we have a beautiful view off of the back deck in July. We were just sitting there, and I was like, I feel kind of weird. And I went inside and took my blood pressure, and it was 155 over 99. And I was doing nothing. I was sitting. I was like, that's just an anomaly. That's not very good, but I feel kind of weird. So I woke up the next morning, and I was like, had a nice night's rest. Not really, because I was kind of thinking about that. Got up, went into where my blood pressure machine is, sat there, took my 10 very deep calming breaths, thought of those things to help lower my blood pressure, and I had improved it to 159 over 99 out of a dead sleep. Booked a doctor's appointment, good idea. Had lots of tests. They're not seeing anything definitive. I did an EKG, and you know what my doctor said? He's like, you know what you should do? Is you should exercise and you should lose some weight. I never heard it before. I don't know if you guys have heard of that before, or if you've ever been advised to exercise or lose weight. And he's like, are you under any kind of stress? I'm like, yeah, like kind of, yeah. Personal, family stress. Stress with my mom and my dad and their health. Stress of maybe things that I was putting on myself here at church that I didn't need to put on myself. And so I started that process. And then I was sitting on a patio at some friends of ours who invited us to their lake cabin there in Harrison on Coeur d'Alene. We had gone for a walk. We came back. We're sitting on their patio. They're overlooking the lake, and it was super beautiful, super awesome. I had started my journey. This is about 3 weeks later. I had started my journey of walking and trying to be more healthy. And we had just gone for a walk and came back, and I was sitting there, and my chest started feeling tight again. And it started feeling like worse, like how I felt when I had my heart attack. And so my wife was like, oh, we probably should take you to the ER. And I went to the same emergency room that I was at that last time, and it was not a great feeling to go into, not that Kootenai Medical's great, but that's where I went. And I was having these chest pains again, and they ran their tests and did their things, and they gave me some medication for angina for chest pains. So I'm in the process of fixing my physical health. I've been doing that. Fixing my mental health. I'm doing that. Got a great clean bill of health from my cardiologist this last week. He's like, you can do whatever you want. You want to run Spartan races? Knock yourself out. Keep doing what you're doing, losing weight. Took me off a couple of medications, which I was really excited about, like I'm improving. All of these things are getting better physically, but this all led me to thinking more about this sermon series, is why I'm saying this legacy mindset. When you start thinking that life is fleeting, you start thinking about what matters. What did you accomplish with your life? Why are you here? Maybe you think of the question like, what is going to be your legacy? What will people remember about your life? There's a definition of legacy. It's a long-lasting impact of a particular events, actions that took place in the past or of a person's life. Do you know that you will leave a legacy? It's happening. You're already doing it. And I don't know how much you think about legacy, but I hope over the next 3 weeks you think about it a lot. Legacy is what echoes from your life long after you're gone, was a quote that I saw. Legacy is what outlives you, not your things, but your impact. Legacy is planting seeds today that will bless generations tomorrow. One of my favorite quotes was, legacy is what continues to speak for you when you're no longer around. Proverbs 13:22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. How many of you think about your children's children? Some of you are like, I don't even have a child. I'm not even thinking about them. What will Moscow, what will the Palouse be like because we are here? What do you want this to be like 50 and 100 years from now? What do you want the culture of the place that you invested your life and your time in to be like? What will matter? If you stop and think about it, it really, really matters to have a legacy mindset. But there's so many things coming at us so fast all around us to try and distract us that it's hard to get there. It's hard to think about your children's children. But here's why it's important. It changes priorities. If why have a legacy mindset? Why does it even matter? It changes priorities. It gives your life purpose. It leaves a lasting influence. And most of all, having a legacy mindset honors God. And I want to think that way. I want to learn how to think that way. And I want to help you think that way before you have some tragedy happen, before you get to whatever age you are in life where you start thinking about it. Man, it'd been great if I would have thought about it when I was 25. It'd been great if I thought about it when I was 20. So we're going to spend 3 weeks on this. I have an image of a stool. I think that legacy sits on three pillars. And this to have a legacy, one of the first things and what we'll tackle today is contentment. You will not have a legacy if you struggle with contentment. Not a good legacy. Not one that you want to leave. And I think contentment, when you are starting to get contentment figured out and you understand what the text says about contentment and what it looks like for you, it will lead you to living a life of generosity. And when you live a life of generosity with your time, with your money, with your talents, with your treasures, and you start thinking down the road, you will leave a legacy. But you can't just do that short term. This isn't a short term fix, because a two-legged stool will do what? Tip over. We have to have the third leg, which is continued faithfulness to understanding contentment in my life and how I can be content, to generosity. So the habit of thinking beyond ourselves, beyond our comfort, and even beyond our lifetime is legacy. A legacy mindset isn't something that we're born with. It's something that you need to cultivate in your life. You need to cultivate this. It begins with an eternal perspective. Look at Psalm 90:12 with Moses. Moses is saying, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, he wasn't asking God just to show him how much time he had left. Because none of us know the day, the time, or the hour when we're going to expire. But he was asking for perspective. And I'm asking you to take a look at your perspective on life. Your perspective on your family. What is that inheritance to your children's children that you're supposed to leave? Do you think it means money? Do you think it's all about how much? Like, if I... I got to get some more, so I can have a spoiled brat great-great-great-grandchild who just has everything handed to him, because you know that's how you've gotten to be so successful, just have everything handed to you. I wonder if the Lord was thinking more than just financial inheritance. Maybe Moses is saying, God, help me live wisely, intentionally, and eternally. See, legacy is all over the Bible. We're advised to think about life and the future beyond us often. Matthew 6:19. See, you thought we were getting away from Matthew? Nope. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where those things don't destroy and die and get rid of. It reminds us that eternal value matters more than temporary gain. You know, prioritizing your influence helps you cultivate a legacy mindset. Living intentionally helps you cultivate a legacy mindset. I have two specific men in my life right now that have come into my life recently that I'm asking to mold and help change me. As an answer to my prayer. And God has revealed it. And these two men are really neat guys. And they've figured out most of the stuff that a lot of us are trying to figure out, that the world tells us. Like, they're not really making this, like, a $5,000 or $10,000 decision isn't really changing their life. They've become successful in that area of their life. They're respected, they're viewed, they're looked at as successful. But what I'm seeing about these men, as I'm getting to know them, they are far more concerned about legacy. They're using what God has given to them. Some of them are just good at finance and stuff like that. They're using those finances not to build more toys for them. They're using those things to invest in the future of legacy. I have an awesome 1995 pontoon boat. It's only got two tunes, though. Wish it had a third tune. It's got a 115 horse motor. I wish it had a 300 horse motor so you could, like, blow your hair off when you're on. But you know what I love about this pontoon boat? I love the memories that I make with people that I take out on it. Right now, it's sitting in the garage getting ready for winter, doing nothing. Of course, my grandson and I were on it yesterday, pretending like we were on a boat on the water. He was driving. He did good. But that's legacy. See, that's legacy. Hey, Papa, can we go out into the boat? I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's go sit on the boat. You want to drive? Lock yourself out. But see, it's not about the boat, is it? It's about what's on the boat. And what's on the boat is God's most prized, precious creation, his people. That's legacy. And so I'm seeing these men shift their mindsets and thinking about legacy within their own families, with other people, and investing in people. And lastly, we plant seeds that we may never see when we think about legacy. We live intentionally. We let faith lead us. And those are all the things that we need to start transforming our mind around when we think about legacy. So let's take a look today at that legacy stool again. The contentment piece of it is what we're going to work on today. And we will not have a legacy if we don't have contentment, which leads to generosity, which helps us stay faithful in the things we're supposed to do. We will not leave the legacy that we want to leave. If you think, like, you can read 1 and 2 Kings and talk about legacy. There's some legacy in there. You're like, ah, bummer. Contentment is the quiet confidence and peace that comes from being satisfied, we sang about it, with what God has given you. Are you satisfied with what God has given you? Rather than chasing for more. Imagine this. Imagine two people walking through a garden. No, I'm not talking about Genesis, but whatever. Walking through a garden, and they see an apple tree, and it has an apple, and the first person sees this apple, and they grab this apple, and they taste it, and they're eating it, and they're like, this is so good. This apple is great. And the second person is like, I'm going to find a better apple. I'm going to find one that's bigger, that's more juicy, that's better. And all they do with their time is just trying to find the next better thing. When God has already provided and it's right there. Finding joy in what God has already provided instead of always chasing what's next leads you towards a path of contentment. And really, when you realize that Jesus is enough, you stop trying to fill your life with the stuff of this world. I was visiting my son and my daughter in Phoenix, Arizona last week. I understand why people go there because a week ago I was at a lake. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. It was like 85 degrees. I understand why it's July there for us. And I was visiting my son and daughter, and we got the privilege of going to church because we go to church when we're on vacation, don't we? It's a good way to like, hey, don't take it away. And God had something for me at this church service. Guess what the guy was talking about? Contentment and generosity. Can you believe that? I mean, he must have been reading my notes. Giant church, small church, Christ Church of the Valley, only 49,000 attenders. Not at one location, multiple locations. Multiple services. And he said something that I've heard before, but I'm going to relay it to you guys again. He said that there's no U-Haul behind your hearse on the way to the funeral. All the stuff, you're like, hey, pack up all my stuff in this U-Haul and take it to me where I'm going to be buried because I'm taking it with me. Think about the pyramids and the tombs and the pharaohs and all the stuff that they found in there, all these things they're taking with them. What do you take with you when you take your last breath here on earth? If there was something that you were going to take with you into eternity forever, do you think that would be something that would be valuable to focus on today? I'm getting blank stares. Maybe not. Yeah? Like, it matters. And here's how I picture it. I don't know that this is true, but this seems like a really cool idea in my brain. I hope this is how it works for me. So first of all, my best day ever in my life has not happened yet. When I die and take my last earthly breath here and I go into the arms of Jesus, that will be my best day ever. I will have no more pain. I will have no more weeping. I will have no more gnashing of teeth. And I will be in the arms, in the presence. And as I understand what heaven is like, it is going to be the best thing ever. And I anticipate that day. And I anticipate being there and being free and feeling loved and then having no more holes in my body and pain and all those things. And I'll be done and I'll be around family that's already there. And I anticipate this. I would like this, Lord, if it's possible. Hey, Josh, I need you to come to the pearly gates. I don't even know if there's pearly gates. I don't know if they're here. But just go with me on this. And I don't have a process of time. And I come to the gates, and they're like, hey, you got somebody coming in. Oh, my gosh. Who is it? Who's it coming? Who's it going to be? I'm so excited. Because our legacy is taking people with us to the kingdom of God. That is all you and I will take out of here. No stuff. And I get to welcome them in and be like, oh, heaven's so awesome. I can't believe you're here. Well, I wouldn't say that, but I would believe that they're here. There are some things that get in the way of us being legacy-minded here on earth, of being content. And when we live in a world that constantly screams, if you just had a little bit more, more money, more success, more followers, more stuff. And actually, our world has inverted that, and they would say, if you just had a little bit less, less zits, less weight. I mean, do you know the Wegovy commercials? Like, come and get the Wegovy drug, because then you will be thinner. Wasn't in my notes. Is it Jardiance? Whatever drug it is. Like, what kind of drug sales are we doing? Can you imagine like the crack dealer be like, come, be happy with the crack. And there's like a musical behind it and they're like, ha. Okay. That was beautiful. People are like, he is a dancer. I know. See, we live in a world that screams, you need to be, have more or do get less of this. But Jesus invites us into a different kind of freedom. The freedom comes when we realize enough is not a number. Enough is not a number of weight loss. It's not a number of money in the bank. Enough is not enough followers on social media. Enough is a name. enough is a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Having him, we sang about it, is more than enough. The illusion of more is just keeps us spinning our wheels. Let me ask you guys this question. I asked myself it this week. When was the last time that you were content? You're good. You don't need any more degrees. You don't need any more money. You're just completely content. I struggled with that question. What it took me back to was my last conversation before my wife, before my surgery. I remember saying, like, so you don't know what's going to happen. Like, when you die, like, it's kind of a bigger surgery. I had a 95% chance of making it. That's pretty good. You know, you still have a 5% chance of not. You know, when it comes to life and death, 5% is a lot. And I remember telling Carrie, I was like, let's talk. Like, can we have a talk? She's holding my hands, and she's there, and I'm like, hey, we've had a really good life. We have 3 really great kids, 6 really great kids, because we have kids that married him. I love this life that I got to live with you. If today's it, I'm good. And I want you to go on and have a great life. I want you to find someone else if there is someone else to do for you. That's when I was content last. How about you? Are you content with your car? I want an F-350 so bad. Gosh. You know the Atom has a Nissan and it's a 5/8 ton. Mine's only a half ton. See, so if we're comparing, his is slightly bigger and can pull more than mine. If I had a 1 ton, where would he go to get a better, bigger truck? How about your house? How about your shoes? How about your phone? I'm very content. I have an iPhone 17 Pro now. I don't have the Max. I guess I'm not content. Carrie has the Max. When is the last time you were content with your internet speed? Men, when was the last time you were content with the guns that you need? Everybody needs at least a third or fourth 9mm. I heard this joke last week. I'll use it. I'm stealing it. Clearly, the guy was making fun of it. The pastor was making fun of his wife. Women, when were you content with the number of pillows that you have on your bed? Totally stole that joke. Here's the thing. The text says a lot about this. Matthew 6:25. Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Your Father knows what you need. And we just sang about it. We see it all around us with social media and doom scrolling. That you don't have enough. You need more success, more approval. You can never be truly satisfied. And if that's your life, you're carrying around these buckets that never fill up. Because you're never enough in the world's eyes. But contentment doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from what we have. It comes from who we know. And who we know is Jesus. Amen? Philippians 4:11-13. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The most misquoted, mistattooed on your body verse that there is. Because you need to look at it in context. What is he asking for complete and total strength for? To be content. Who is this? Where's Paul's writing this under house arrest in 61 or 62 AD to the church in Philippi? Paul grew up having wealth. He's a Roman citizen. He grew up at the better schools. He's smart. He had all those things. And then he followed Jesus and didn't have all those things. Paul didn't let circumstances define his peace. Jesus says it in Luke, and this is interesting what he says in Luke. You know, one thing I've never had happen to me as a pastor, I've had people come in and talk to me about like lust, about the spouse stuff that they're dealing with. They've talked to me about prayer for job stuff or money or finances or other things. You know what I've never had anybody come in and confess to me? I'm greedy. I'm greedy. I need to not be greedy anymore. Never had that. I've been a pastor since 2010. 15 years. Nobody's ever confessed the sin of greed, but it's talked about in the text. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 12:15, because I think greed is going to help you be less content if you're greedy. And he says to them, watch out. Imagine if Jesus came into this room right now and he's like, Josh, watch out. I'd be like, what should I watch out for? Like, watch out is a pretty big phrase, is it not? If Jesus Christ tells you to watch out, what should you do? Watch out. What does he want him to watch out for? Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Comparison is the theft of contentment. In order for us to get a handle on contentment, we have to stop comparing. You guys think there's any more text about comparing? You guys remember that one commandment in there that could talk about being envious? What does it say? You should not covet. What should you not covet? Your neighbors? Good job. You guys get an A+. Your kids know it too. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Can you imagine? And Adam reminded me of this week in our sermon study and prep. So like, what? Let's talk about the houses that Moses is rolling in. Must be nice to have that kind of a tent. That one takes down so fast and moves so quickly. Must be nice. Like, they're roaming around. Like, but don't covet someone's house. Well, why would you not want to covet someone's house? What does it do to your heart? Why would you not want to covet someone's wife? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servants, his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Greed and envy are causing discontentment. They did a study, and the study was this. Would you rather make $50,000 or $100,000 a year? Okay, let's do it in here. How many people would rather make $50,000 or $100,000? Raise your hand if you want the lower amount, $50,000. Want to make less? Okay, good. How many people want to make $100,000? And some of you don't want to play at all. Okay, no. Like 99% of people want to make $100,000. And they did the same study. They said this. All things being equal, you can make $100,000 and all of your friends and neighbors are going to make $200,000, or you can make $50,000 and all your friends and neighbors are going to make $25,000. What do you think people picked? 50. I need to have more than my neighbor. Timothy 6:6-7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The word there for great gain means like massive return. Like you were smart enough to invest in Apple in 2001, everything you got. If you knew what the Apple stock was then and was going to be today, what kind of decisions would you have made? Some of you are like, I wasn't born in 2001, old man. Okay, your parents. No. Great return, massive return. What is going to give you a massive return in life? Contentment. So there's some takeaways I want you to take away from today. Stop comparing your journey to other people's journey. Comparison is the theft of contentment. Your path is unique, and the Lord has set that path, and it is okay. Trust God in his provision. He knows exactly what you need. He's more than enough. We all sang it. But do we walk out of here believing it? How about this? Celebrate what he's already given you. Do you guys know we're not worried about somebody barricading this door and that door and those doors and burning this place down like in Nigeria and killing all Christians? Like, how about the contentment that we still live in a free country where we can explore God's word, or we can get together and we can sing to him and we can celebrate and look at God's word? When you're so excited about what God has already done and you're counting all your blessings, it's hard to figure out what you don't have. Do you have the mindset of gratitude? Gratitude is the bridge to contentment. And contentment is the freeway to generosity, which we're going to talk about next week. If we learn how to be content, it changes how we look at so many things in our life. And it moves us to generosity, the second leg of the stool. As we come to communion today, we're coming to it with hearts that need to learn how to be content, that need to practice, that need to exercise that. And so at our church, oh, by the way, happy family weekend here at the U of I. Sorry about the game yesterday. Are you content? Are you content that you had this awesome time with your family? It was a great time. But as you think about this, we celebrate communion every week at Real Life on the Palouse. So if you didn't get one as you walked in, you could raise your hand, and our guys will be more than happy to get you communion so you can celebrate it with us. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we want you to take this. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, we want you to be able to take this. It's something we do as a family. Keep your hands up, and our guys will get it to you. We got some on the far right, Ron. Right up here. But this is one of the reasons we can come, that we know Jesus is enough. It's because all he did was give everything that he had for you and I. Everything that he had. In John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. As we look at these elements before us, this bread and this cup, they're more than symbols. They remind us that we don't have to chase endlessly to find satisfaction. That Jesus is enough. That he fills the gaps no amount of money, success, or approval ever could. He declares that he's the bread of life. Lord, I ask you just revealing here to folks, what is something that they're chasing that will never be satisfied? Something that they're chasing that they could put their time, energy, and effort into that would be different, that would build a legacy. Lord, I ask that we come to you today, that we would choose to rest in your sufficiency, that we would believe the songs that we sang, that you are more than enough. You are the God who provides everything that we need. And so Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he had given thanks, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body. It's enough. It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember your enoughness. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it. In remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Lord, we proclaim you. Father, I ask that you would just have these themes running in people's head this week. That enough is not a number, it is you. Enough is not a number, it is your name. Enough is not a number, it is Jesus. That peace is not having what we want, it's wanting what you have in Jesus. That the more that we chase, the emptier we feel. Help us chase Jesus more. Lord, be with your people today. Give them guidance, give them wisdom.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.